Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulous, the fluoridated, the allegedly irradiated, but we don't know because I stopped testing for it. And my very special guest is, I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce her name. I know her last name is Young, and her first name is either Kyra or Kira. Welcome
it's
to the show.
It's Kira.
Oh, yeah, okay. Hey? Like Knightley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Except she's
but with an
day.
I instead of a Y.
Now, speaking of which, I wanted to think a little bit deeper here, because we were talking off-air just before about psychopathy and whatnot, and my goodness, what a timely discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just this morning, in fact, was reminded of this scumbag who... stole videos off me and threatened me and intimidated me and things like that. This is like way back in the day, like 2010 or something like that. But he's back and he's uploading my videos again. Son of a wench.
Mm.
And so I just posted up all these videos about him assaulting us.
Wow.
And, you know, it kind of puts things into perspective when somebody's trying to tell you, oh, I want everybody to be free, I want to set up sovereignty, etc. You know, here's your claim of right, and we're going to get your birth certificate back. Meanwhile, there's a video out there of him assaulting people who are trying to ask him simple questions.
Right.
Yeah. And see, this is how you deal with psychopaths in a way to actually expose them. But what's problematic is that if you expose them, they know that you're doing it, and they come and frack up your life.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that is the quandary, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the way that I deal with that is I teach people how to see it for themselves. You know, how to tell if the people they're dealing with in their lives are psychopaths or not. That way, and I can speak in general terms and give the people who listen to my show their own tools to do that for themselves. And then, so I don't have all the psychopaths, you know, all of them coming. I'll have to a few, but not as many as I could, you know. So that's how I do it. That's my form of insurgency.
Yeah, yeah.
Against the psychopath charge.
Well, have you noticed that this is actually a... I think I've actually encapsulated what this battle is. I've been trying to figure out who's on the bad side and who's on the good side and who's in between. Mm-hmm. And it's the people that are in between. It's the psychopaths that are on the bad side, and it's the people exposing the psychopaths that are on the good side, more or less. They're sort of like the source, you know, from which all scumbaggery flows forth. Kind of like the... John Kerry and the Heinz Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're all about the source.
I know some people that's all they'll consume.
They'll only consume, like, tomato sauce?
Well, just Heinz. If they're having tomato sauce or ketchup or whatever, it has to be Heinz.
All right. What did the... what was it? There was a good joke about this. In fact, I think it might have been on Kill Bill or something like that. There's a mummy tomato, a daddy tomato, and a baby tomato. And the baby tomato, they were walking down the street, the baby tomato starts lagging behind, and daddy tomato goes back there and squishes him, and he goes, ketchup.
I think I've actually seen that before. Recently.
Where was it
weird.
From? I forget which movie it was.
I don't know.
It matters not.
I don't... Yes, I don't pay attention enough to know.
Okay.
It's background.
Well, I think that's... it's kind of like the way I live my life as well. It's just kind of... Yeah, does it really matter? No? No. Okay. Frack it then. Too hard basket. Now, talking about your show, I'd like you to actually... plug your website and services and whatnot.
Okay. Well, my show is called The Bridge with Kira. It's on the Type 1 Radio Network, which is a blog talk radio show. And Swami Shivanandagiri is my producer. And I'm on Sundays from 2 to 4 Eastern and 7 to 9 Greenwich Mean Time. And basically, it's a meeting place. It's a meeting of minds. I usually interview someone for 2 hours about what they're doing, either an activist or a musician or a writer, a thinker, an artist, and, you know, give people a voice who should be heard. So coming up this coming Sunday, I'm going to have Ted Torbich on, and that's going to be really fun. I really love his rants, and I really get into his, the way he thinks and his work. So, and I'm going to tell him my UFO experience, which I've never told publicly before.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we can't get a sneak preview of it now, then, eh?
No. Well, I will say this one thing, because when Suzanne Posel was on my show, she talked about the Electric Universe theory. And now that I've looked into that a little bit, I think this UFO experience has something to do with that. So I will put that out there. But you'll have to listen to my show to hear the story. And it happened in 1998 in Oakland, California. And I was not the only one there. And I was not on drugs. And my website...
That's very strange for a person in Oakland, California, to not be on drugs.
I mean, true,
what else is there to do in Oakland? I heard that one guy actually got lost in the airport, and it said, like, now boarding for Auckland, and he's like, oh, okay, like, you thought it was weird that he was flying to Auckland, but he jumped on the plane.
Auckland's actually a beautiful city.
Yeah, and then he wound up in New Zealand, because the announcer actually had an accent and was pronouncing Auckland. New Zealand.
Oh my God. Oh, I heard about that. Yes.
Yeah. But it was too late, you know, the plane had already taken off. He was just kind of like stuck there for
I didn't realize those were the two cities, though. Oh, that's terrible for him. Yes, I did hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
That must have sucked.
Wow.
Although,
you know, he went on
it may have come as a pleasant surprise to him. Hey, I'm not in Oakland.
Yeah. It's not that bad, man. Oakland was one of the first places to do medical marijuana and got its nickname 15 years ago as Oaksterdam, because they had a bulldog and all the other types of, you know, places that they have in Amsterdam. They had them in Oakland 15 years ago for people who need it for medical purposes, which is most of the planet.
Yeah.
If you're
course-
not hurting...
Most of the planet need it for medical purposes, and the rest of the planet need it for recreational purposes.
Right. And who cares what the hell people do? I mean, it's not a crime. It's been criminalized, but it doesn't mean that's a crime. Nobody's harming anyone. It's not a crime. And that should be changed. And it is. It's in the process of changing. People are waking up. People are like, oh, wow. The data doesn't support your bullshit. So people shouldn't lose their kids and homes over
How about
that?
Law based on stuff that actually is real and is measurable,
right,
as opposed to
right.
mm-hmm. massive amounts of propaganda, just convincing you of something that's simply not true for no real
right.
good reason.
Mm-hmm. When I was in college, this was the early 90s, I met a guy named Jack Harar. And I had read his book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes. And in my college, it was mandatory that you take environmental science. So I took that class, and then we had a project at the end, you know, save the world. Like, what would you do, given the data that they told us about, you know, global warming and crap? And the solution was industrial hemp. Not even marijuana, but if you need it for medicine, that too. But the only reason it was made illegal is to make hemp illegal, which has industrial value, food, fuel, paper, fiber, and cannabis is medicine. So all of those industries that would be not have the control that they have over the world right now, if it's made illegal. So they'll try to figure out a way to, you know, co-opt its slow legalization. And they'll probably GMO it and fuck it up, because that's how they operate. But
well, it's more like taking control of things, because when somebody told me, oh, they made hemp illegal just for the industrial usage, and other people say, oh, they did it for the alcohol and tobacco industry because it's a competition for them, and somebody else goes, no, they're doing it for all the medical things because everybody had medicine in their bag. Another person goes, no, they did it for the cooking industry because almost every single frickin' recipe in a goddamn cookbook in the time of the 30s had frickin' cannabis in it. And then I said, it's kind of like the 9/11 truth movement. There's a number of different working theories. Most of them, they're pretty much all true, and they all happen simultaneously. Right. And it was done that way specifically so that people would fight about what was the real causing factor and what was the real reason endlessly, so that they can continue to pull off more shit like this.
But yes, it is all of the above. And we do have the evidence. I mean, the DuPonts, they have the patent for nylon. So they did not want for people to be able to use, continue to use hemp for fiber. They wanted to take over that fiber market. And, you know, and it's the same with agrochemicals, petrochemicals, you know, cotton. They wanted cotton to be the industry. And so, you know, they don't want you making clothes out of hemp, which lasts like a gazillion times longer, you know, and fuel, paper uses, I mean, making paper out of trees is killing the planet, but you can make so much more paper out of hemp with, you know, without having to kill the planet. So yeah, it's all of the above. Absolutely.
And
it'll be interesting to see how the whole cancer, because people are like, we're tired of your chemotherapy with your, you know, 2% success rate. Chemotherapy is killing people. It's not. So why are they still using it?
Well, I think we need to educate children about it.
Majority of the people.
At the end of the day, the New World Order's figured out that if you brainwash one institution, then they'll wind up convincing all the subsequent generations of the status quo. So I don't know, maybe if we just taught children in school and whatnot that cannabis has all these healing properties, all these industrial capacities, etc., and the reasons why it was made illegal to drive out the competition, etc., then I think within a generation it'd be legal and they'd continue to repeat and parrot that truth, ironically enough, down through the generations.
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of movement since, you know, 1990 to now. There's been huge movement. You know, and for a while it just seemed like, I mean, you think about the 60s and every movement was derailed by Countel Pro and the CIA bringing all kinds of fucking drugs in to derail people and get them, you know, off on a trip instead of doing what they needed to do to change things the way they really wanted to change things. So, you know, I didn't think it would ever change, because when I was talking to people in the 90s about this, they were like, you're fucking crazy. You are absolutely fucking insane. I'm like, no, I'm not. This is the truth. And I told people, like, in my first husband was British, and I told people in England when they were like, oh, we know what you're going over to Amsterdam for. And I was like, you will see it decriminalized in my lifetime, because the facts do not back it up, what they're doing. So,
well,
the truth
I don't know, I don't
prevail.
Know about you.
Sometimes it just takes a long time.
Yeah, it kind of takes a while for it to sink in, and it's just like that with everything. It's just the more you're exposed to it, the more it's repeated blatantly in front of you, the more inclined you are to believe it. It works for the truth as well as for lies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and vegetables with children. That's how you make them like vegetables, is you just keep giving it to them until they eat it. Yeah.
Yeah, you are what you eat. I'm a vegetable. I can't move. Why, bro? What happened to you? Too much Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts. They're like those tiny cabbage things. That's what my son calls them.
Yeah.
Can I have some more of those tiny cabbage things, please?
Yeah.
Smothered in butter.
Motherly smothered in
That's
butter.
That's another way. That's another mommy trick right there.
Oh, yeah.
Butter.
Mm-hmm. And also, I saw this dude on, it was either Oprah or Ellen or something, one of those talk shows back in the day when I had a TV. And he tried all these hundreds of different health tips. You know how there's like all this health tip, like lose weight doing this, that, and the other, and there's like hundreds of different like little things that you can do? Well, he decided that mm-hmm. he would take a year off work and write a book about trying every single one of them. And one of the things that I found was particularly interesting was how to get people to eat vegetables when they're previously used to a high sugar, high fructose diet. And he said, mm-hmm. what you do is when you're steaming your vegetables or you're cooking them or roasting them or anything like that, you just sprinkle like a teaspoon or a tablespoon, depending how much you're cooking, of brown sugar over it. And then what happens is the taste buds start to think that what they're eating isn't like, you know, ooh, yuck, vegetables. It starts to think, they're actually quite tasty and sugary. And then after a few meals or so, they found that you actually gain a taste for the vegetable itself and you completely forget about the sugar and then you can stop putting it in.
Mm. Well, I didn't have that problem. I was fed vegetables like my whole life. My mother, as I got older and older, her garden got bigger and bigger and she's got a farm now. So I always ate vegetables. And my mother is a Southern cooker. And Southern cooking is like you have your meat and then you have your 10 vegetables that you picked from the garden. Country Southern. So I didn't have that problem, and that's how I've been doing it with my son as well, just from the beginning, just giving it to him. But that's a good trick. If I get someone stubborn that won't eat my vegetables, I'm going to do that.
Mm. And also another one that you found out with sweetness, when you taste it in your mouth, your body automatically gears up for the reception of it. So he's found that you can actually lose weight by gargling sugary sports water and then spitting it out.
Interesting. Oh, because your body makes everything to burn it off. And
yeah, your body thinks, oh my God, a whole bunch of sugar and energy are on its way. And then it starts going into hyperdrive, just, you know, preparing for it. And if it doesn't come, then it's burnt calories unnecessarily. And all you've done is gargle and trick your body into thinking that there's something sweet on the way.
Yeah.
Sort of like in the same way Barack Obama does to the American people.
Right. Exactly. Here's a bunch of promises I'm never going to keep. Vote for me.
Can you remember in your lifetime a single president that kind of delivered on all his promises or any of them for that matter?
No. No.
I can't remember the prime minister doing
it. So why did we think it was different this time?
Yeah.
You know, why did we think it was different this time?
Because he was black.
You know, I was hopeful, man. I had that Hopi changey.
I heard that was an Indian tribe that got wiped out.
Let's hope not. I had it. Let's hope he not. Yeah.
But that was it, basically. You look at a country and you're like, man, I'm really fed up with the elections and whatnot. All these old white guys always getting elected and always breaking their promise.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, here's a relatively young black guy. Surely this is different. Surely. No.
Seems legit, right?
Yeah.
No, and I don't think that he's a psychopath. I think he's a puppet. I think he, you know, anybody who gets into that has to, you know, have made a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
To get there. So, yeah.
Well, I think that real
and
patriotic.
And they'll do it again with Hillary. They'll do the same thing. It'll be replace black dude with woman. You know, they'll play the same trick on us.
Yeah.
But I'm not falling for it this time. I am not.
Well, maybe the difference between you and the rest of your American brethren is that you remember what was said, what was promised.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Other people, I actually was arguing with some people in New Zealand. New Zealanders love Barack Obama. It's ridiculous. You see Barack Obama 08 bumper stickers on cars in New Zealand driving around sometimes.
Seriously?
I'm not kidding.
That's bizarre.
The dude is a worldwide globalist government kingpin, philanthropist, freaking god as far as people are concerned. And they don't know anything at all that he's done or hasn't done. They know nothing. Had an argument with a dude who's like he's like a student in training at a university or something like that, you know, typical, I know everything because I haven't had any life experience or ever had a job or been able to think to myself because I've always been in an institution my entire life of people telling me what to say and how to say it and how to get good grades. And so he's arguing with me about the great things Barack Obama has done and the great laws that he's passed. I asked him, well, hold on a second, great laws that he's passed, name me one that he passed. And he's like, See, you can't even name a single thing that he's done. The only thing that you remember about Barack Obama is, oh, hope, oh, change, oh, he won the election, wasn't that great. Therefore, everything he's done since then and subsequently has been great by proxy, right? Even if he's signed documents that allow Americans to be executed overseas without trial, allowed indefinite detention, appointed himself a dictator, or, you know, all of these things. None of these people have any idea.
Yeah, and, you know, well, in America, everybody knows that Obamacare is his big baby and what he was doing. And, you know, the fatal flaw with Obamacare is that insurance companies are the fucking problem. They're the ones that drive the price of healthcare up so high that, you know, we can't afford it. And we get the worst outcomes and we pay the most for it. So he kept insurance in the picture.
Well, that's because the insurance companies, wrote the Obamacare Act.
Right. Right. Exactly. And you know, the corporations do write their own bills. That's how it works. You know, that's how slavery works today, is corporations are running the show. The government can be the big enemy, but they're not really, you know, the ones calling the shots. It's actually corporations that are calling the shots, and the government is the big shield of the corporation. So,
well, the government ensures that corporations can have a monopoly because corporations can't just, you know, Vinnie Eastwood monopoly. I'm going to monopolize all TV and radio in this country. It's going to be all Vinnie all the time. I can't do that. You know why?
Right.
Because I don't have the government with guns in my back pocket.
Right. Right. You're not Jimmy Savile, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You don't have royalty and government backup.
Although.
And corporate backup.
An Albany all the time media blackout. Man, that'd be so funny.
That would be hilarious. We would want to see it.
Yeah, it'd be like on They Live, you know, when they hack into the TV series and everything and give everybody a headache because they're too used to being frickin' brainwashed by a manipulative signal and whatnot, that as soon as somebody starts speaking the truth to them, it makes them sick and upset.
Right. Well, that is the truth. I mean, that is the way most people are. They just cannot handle it because it's a lot to really, you know, fully take in and just be like, holy shit, you know? So, yeah, I mean, most people that's truth right there. Most people cannot deal with it because it's a lot to deal with.
And if you want to get more of Kira's truth there, would you please check out your website for the listening audience?
Oh, my, it is kyoung4.wordpress.com. It's called Psychopaths in Charge. That is my blog, and I have a like page on Facebook for my radio show, and it's called The Bridge with Kira.
All right. Thank you very much, Kira, for joining us today, and thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. We'll be right back just after the break. Make sure you go to the homepage, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. There's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. Eastwood doesn't go ahead, make my news. Now, we're looking for listeners to support the show by either donating once off or starting up an automatic payment, either with your credit card through the PayPal, or if you are a New Zealand listener, there's a Kiwi Bank bank account there as well. And if you want to send me cash or something like that, usually you just enclose it in a birthday card, just email me, I'll give you my home address. and all of that jazz. Plus, we've got a number of Wii sponsors on the homepage. These are basically just listeners like you who just saw that me in trouble one day and just thought, man, well, I'm going to show up and give Vinny a bit of coin to keep his operation running. So check all those on as well. The High Tea Cafe, Ditch the Can, the Gourmet Soap Kitchen and Wagga Wagga, Volcania Coffee. There's a couple of books on there, the Range of Illusion by Brian E. Holmes, and the Crowdfunding Revolution as well. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.